Ramsey TV.
Bob and I are here. We're shoved up against the kitchen table. The chairs are kind of awkward. The camera, the hard to get to the microphone. I told Bob, I said, you know, you suffer for your craft, right? A little suffering's good for it. You know, nothing's ever easy, I'll tell you that. This is Martin Zunder, and I am privileged to be back again with my friend and our fellow believer, Bob McLaurin. I did not meet him until a couple days ago when he flew in from Nashville, Tennessee. He's got this little orange tee on his shirt. I think that means you're a football guy.
And basketball, but we're in football season.
Yeah, what's that school called?
Tennessee.
Tennessee State, the Tennessee University.
The University of Tennessee. Big Orange.
Didn't Peyton Manning go
he
there?
He did.
Peyton
he
Manning
did.
Went there. Who else? Big any NFL guys?
Reggie White. Everybody should know
Reggie White. Everybody should. Yeah, I know Reggie
Back
White.
Back in the day.
Reggie White, he was a Green Bay Packer, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't he the
Eric Berry.
I don't know Eric Berry.
He's a safety for the Chiefs.
Well, God love him. My favorite safety. My favorite linebacker for the Chiefs was back in the day, Bob Lanier. Remember him?
I was going to say Willie. Is it Bob?
Is it Willie Lanier? Yeah, I think you're right. It's Willie Lanier. Bob on the brain.
All right.
Yeah, what a guy. Let me see if this works.
What a hitter.
Let me see if this works.
Yeah, yeah. That
you
works.
Think that works?
Yes.
Do you want to try this or you're not?
You keep him.
All right, I'm going to keep him. All right, well, what I want to do today is I always hear from you, and I'm this way. I like to hear people's story. I like to hear how they got to where they are. Because here's this guy, Bob. As far as he knows, he's never been to Fort Lauderdale. So here he is at the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula with Martin Zunder. How the heck did you get from wherever you were
to
here? Where did it start? It's just nuts.
Grew up in the church.
Which church was that?
Popery of, you know, Baptist, non-denominational, a little bit of PH, but more Baptist, non-denominational.
PH, what's that?
Pentecostal Holiness.
Pentecostal Holiness.
Was later on in Alabama, but...
Did you attain holiness during that period?
Probably not. Well, I probably had it, but didn't know it.
Oh, yeah, you had it. God pronounced
it. I just thought I needed it.
You didn't know what holiness was then. You thought it was some way
some
to behave.
Some attainable, yes. So, absolutely.
Stop sinning.
A lot of people still believe that.
Of course. Just stop sinning and
sin
you'll be
management.
Holy.
That's what it all is.
Sin management. That's what keeps them in business.
Yeah.
Sin management. All right, so you went through PH.
Yeah. All life in church, raised in the church. You know, there's great folks. We raised our kids in the church. Great, loving youth pastors and things. But just through my journey, I was always inquisitive, always searching things out. Never wanted to be deceived. That was my big deal.
Yep.
I didn't want to be deceived in any way. But over time and personal just grinding through the sin management cycle.
I like the way you say that, sin management. I don't think I've ever used that phrase, but I will from this day forward.
You know, putting fires out internally, you know, that
you're
always preserving your own eternal security. You're always securing that. And truth be told, you probably don't have time to save anybody else because you're so busy keeping yourself
saved. So all these organizations, you could probably say that you grew up in the Bible Belt, isn't that the Bible
absolutely.
Belt? Okay, so these different churches you went to, they actually believed that, they let's put it this way, they did not believe in insecurity. You constantly had to work to keep your salvation going.
They taught it, but it was just pure lip service because internally, if people told the truth, nobody really had a consistent rest.
Golly.
You were, you know, if you weren't in the Bible for a month or two, you always felt that pressure. You know, where am I with God? Where's my relationship? And that's certainly expressed in teaching. Like, you know, you need to be doing X, Y, Z to keep that relationship healthy.
Yeah.
And
the question they always ask you is, brother, how's your walk with the Lord?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
how's your walk? It's like the spotlight is focused on you.
Yep.
Instead of, you know, I mean, if you have to ask a question, I would think it would be like, what is God doing in your life these days? Right? At least the focus is on God, what God's doing. It's like, how's your walk with the Lord? It's like they put you up on a graph and you better be here if you die today or it's a little shaky.
Yep. So over time, I was always into Bible prophecy and I just, and other things, but I started to notice people would use either verses or phrases that just really didn't fit what I saw in scripture. And it just made me think, what else are we missing? You know, I started thinking about how in the world could the church during the Civil War, any aspect of the church, support slavery? I just thought, and in fact, didn't just support it, they justified it with the word. I'm like, how do you even get there? So I wanted to know, what if I'm doing the same thing? So I was always like, again, it goes back to, I don't want to be deceived, examining what I believe and hammering the Bible.
But there came a day when you realized that all those years you had been deceived. What, were you mad when you found that out? Were you alarmed? Were you mad at God?
Oh my God. Well, I'd certainly gone through bouts of anger with him.
You can confess anything. These are our friends. Believe me, I've told these people things that, you know, you would not believe. So
I will say I was completely content in what I believed about everything, hell, the purpose of it, and who was going to end up there. I mean, you know, I probably didn't think about it much, but as far as I was concerned, I thought I was content with everything. I wasn't looking to disprove anything in my doctrine and things like that. And one weekend night, I'm on YouTube just listening to pastors.
Here we go. Here he comes.
Collecting things that I could listen to while I'm at work.
Right.
Let's do them on the headphones.
Right.
And this guy who's not even a Christian salvation of all universalist guy, but he's right on the line, but he presented the gospel that we would agree with.
Who is this guy?
Steve McVeigh. He's in Atlanta. He spent 35 years as a pastor, finally shook his fist in God's face, asked him, what do you want from me? I've done. And God replied to him, I didn't ever ask you for anything.
Oh,
and
wow.
He's got a great story. So anyway, he presented Romans 5:18 and Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:14, 1 Corinthians 5:22 or 15:22.
15:22.
As in Adam all dies,
yeah.
Even so in Christ all shall be made alive. When that hit me, it was instantaneous. It was over. Over. That was no fight. It was Tyson to the jaw.
Tyson to the jaw.
And I went down
for
the 10
count. Dropped to the canvas, man.
I knew internally it was true. I knew internally, instantly, salvation of all was true.
Wow.
And joy just rose up, melted me completely. In my head, I wanted to prove out certain things. Again, I didn't want to be deceived. So.
Yeah.
I took about 6 months looking at forgiveness, justification, and all that. Of all those, the hardest was forgiveness. The rest of it, justification and all that, which would seem be down the line, was much easier.
Yeah, because justification is more radical than forgiveness.
Yeah.
It's weird that you would have more of a problem with the far-reaching, all-encompassing radical truth than you would with the stepping stone truth of forgiveness. I guess that tells me you're a radical guy. And radical truths like hit home with you.
I love them. They find their home with me.
So you came into the salvation understanding of the salvation of all.
Not wanting to.
Just like Saul on the road to Damascus.
There are plenty of legitimate testimonies that people have a problem with hell and the. I had no problem with it.
You had no problem with it, you freak.
I have no problem with billions, making the choice.
Yeah, of course.
Why be troubled? Want that choice?
Why be troubled by that? So you were content with, everybody but you going to hell for
eternity. I was a Paul. You know, I'm like,
you were
I got
Saul.
No problem.
You
Saul.
Were a Saul.
Yeah,
Saul. You became a Paul.
Yes.
You became a Paul. So when you got this revelation in your car on the radio, you were still in the Orthodox Assembly, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did you do with this information? And did you go back to the Assembly and...
I'm still there, but I tend to.
Right, I'm gonna have to have a talk with.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have a talk with Bob. He's still in the Assembly. I don't understand how this could possibly be. Maybe he'll explain it to us. But I'm not happy about this, as you can guess.
Call me embedded.
No, he's an embed.
Yes.
So you're one of those spies in there going into. All right. So
explain
how that works. Well, first go back to that time when you hear the salvation of all, and you certainly couldn't have gone back to the institution in the same state of mind.
Oh, no. It was, well, I'll say that it is impossible to sit there and hear a conditional gospel and...
Apparently, it's not impossible.
True.
You do it every freaking Sunday.
I'm doing the impossible.
You're a miracle man.
But to hear it, it's no appetite to hear that the weak God who cannot deliver or is unwilling to deliver. In my case, I'm with people who feel he's too weak to deliver or too much of a gentleman to pull his own kid out of the middle of the street, which are pretty hazardous down here in the southern end of the
border of Florida. I got to ask you, how could you stand to still be in that assembly?
I've got friends there. They will accommodate my rants. And let me tell you, along this process, to having to know this for myself, I've dug, clawed, scratched, mined jewels out of the Word for myself. I'm not doing it for anybody else. I'm willing to share it, but it is for me. And I have collected this stuff and I present those to my friends, like, how can you not see this? It's so clear.
Yes, and you did tell me, I mean, to your ultimate credit, I have to say this, we can't leave this out, is that they give you carte blanche at the Bible studies, right? The Sunday, I don't know if it's Sunday afternoon, Wednesday evening, but you speak out in front of all these people, right? Including the pastor, and you testify to these truths that we're discussing, right?
I mean, I allow their myths or assumptions. I follow them to their logical conclusion, which is if 80 to 99% end up in hell, then to me, God is a total loser, failure. Jesus Christ is a failure, if that's true.
You've said that in the church.
Yes.
And the pastor,
if that is true, he is a total failure.
That's absolutely true. But does the pastor not then pull you aside and say, Bob, you're a pretty smart guy, and we haven't considered these verses before, but shut up from now on.
Yeah.
No?
Well,
does he say
crickets
that?
It's crickets normally.
It's crickets?
Yeah.
The pastor has never pulled you aside?
Well, it's the teacher who might be a pastor. He's pastor, not...
Oh, he's the second
pastors.
In command, not acting pastor.
So
he's a flunky. I shouldn't say that.
Oh, no,
I'm sorry, dude.
That
was very crude.
He might be in
You'll
the body.
You'll find
that
I'm a crude person, and I say things that I regret, and the next show I correct them.
Yes.
I apologize.
You always
for
need that content, so there you
go. I apologize. I apologize for that. But see, they are good people.
Yeah.
I understand that. But their beliefs are so damn heinous.
It's hard. It's hard,
but
it only reinforces for me the blindness of the masses, which I certainly was, because all that stuff is right there and was in front of me, and I didn't see it. And I know I've read it.
Yeah.
There's not one or two verses. There's dozens of crystal clear, God's got it. He's going to do it. He's going to accomplish absolutely every little whim of his heart. He's going to accomplish it. How couldn't he?
Right. How couldn't he? He's God. Now, there's a lost concept that he's God. Since I'm such a narcissist, I need to know how you found my stuff on the internet. Like, what's the first thing you found, and when in your walk did you find it?
YouTube's generally my go-to. I like videos over just print. Prefer it, but started searching Christian universalism, salvation of all, ultimate reconciliation. And early on, I had seen you in a video with Clyde and maybe some others, and heard a little bit, and I went, those guys
not?
Are crazy.
You said not? Your first reaction
well,
to me with their, was
in my head, I don't know what it was, but I was like, I don't know about that.
I've heard that before, it happens.
And then I circled back around like 6 months later and went, Yeah, of course.
So you got the salvation of all. Before we close here, I need to know, when did you, because I've told our listeners many times that the salvation of all is not the gospel.
Right.
It is the result of the gospel. And you and I'm sure in your camps, and I know people who, it's an odd thing, they believe in the salvation of all, but they do it apart from Paul's gospel.
Yep.
And it is very possible. In fact, there are lots of people who are either universalists, a term which I hate, Unitarians, another term I hate,
yep.
There are people who believe that God will be all in all, but they don't get there via the death, entombment, and resurrection of Christ, i.e. Paul's gospel. So when did you find out that Paul had a distinct message and that that message was the actual cause of the eventual salvation of Paul?
That was probably within a year when just my digging, I wanted to know why the confusion or the conflict or tension between the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, James especially.
Also, okay, you already noticed that on your own.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I knew. I mean, because that's what's taught in churches.
That what? That
the Matthew, Mark, the conditional.
Oh, that's for everybody, right? Yeah, that's for both Jew and Greek.
But, I mean, it's just such a mix. It's intolerable. So
yeah, it's unpalatable as well. It's just...
Paul is solely given lip service. That's all he gets, his gospel.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, isn't that something? So
yeah, it's just amazing, shocking.
Yeah, it is. It's so weird that when people are given the choice, because there's Paul, and he's saying all these radical things, justification and all condemned in Adam that are justified in Christ, and they have on the other side, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this law where do this or else. And it's amazing that when people are facing door number one and door number two, they choose the law.
Would you prefer beatings over...
Yeah, would you like to be beaten or potentially stoned and never be able to eat bacon again the rest of your life? Or would you like this... All is lawful for me.
Yeah. Know?
Yeah. So
and they always choose that.
They always choose the bondage. Yeah. Why? Why do people do that?
Even blindness doesn't answer it for me.
Well, I think people don't trust something that's
true.
Free.
And it's
I think
too good to be true.
It's too good to be true. And people like to earn things because then they can lord it over other people who have not earned it. It's all credit. It's all credit based. And so if you have more credits than somebody else, then you can boast in the fact that you are where you are because you did this and this and this and that poor sap didn't do it.
And going back to the moment
that's what I want. Where's your Damascus Road as far as Paul's gospel?
The second that it struck me, you know, I would have weeks, periods of you feel like you're good, secure in Christ, mm-hmm. because you see the scripture, it's there, you're secure in Him, but you'll feel good about it, and then you've got a bad stretch, and you start to doubt, am I in? Am I out? You never feel rest. And the instant that Romans 5:18 hit, the instant that 1 Corinthians 15:22 hit, the realization for me was if everybody else is secure, then I'm in with everybody else. It was instant peace. And I definitely feel that contrast of 40 plus years, 50 years of mm-hmm. the struggle, the sin management, and are you in, are you out, are you secure? Never had a second, never had a millisecond of uncertainty since then.
Since then, right.
Since then. Now I know what he means by, you know, you'll have my peace. It is beyond description.
It's amazing that Jesus said the same thing, but in the four accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's still dependent on your acts, right? And we have a gospel here, ladies and gentlemen, in 2 Timothy 1:9, Paul says that we are called with a calling that is apart from acts. The Apostle Paul, Bob, you noticed it by reading the scriptures. I noticed it by reading the scriptures that there was something different about this man that I used to call him Mr. Radical. He took the extended view of everything, and it's like this guy didn't fit in anywhere. It took me a couple years later to understand that he had a distinct message, that his message was not simply for one dusty nation in the Middle East, i.e. Israel, but his message was for all humanity. Christ, the resurrected Christ, the glorified Christ, gave Paul the answer to what the depth of what the cross accomplished, that it was more than for the sins of Israel. It was actually for the sins of the entire human race, and not only that, but for the sins in the celestial realms as well. This is a glorious message, and I thank you for going to the trouble to come down here and to see me. I'm a lonely guy, Bob, very lonely. And so
it's been great.
It's been nice to have that. And if anybody else wants to come down and have some fellowship, I'm here on the Floridian Peninsula in Fort Lauderdale. I will warn you, however, I will probably ask you if you want to do a video with me. Bob knew it was coming. I said, can we do a video? But you can hear how well-spoken he is and how well-studied he is. So thanks again for coming down here. And I, Martin Zender, will be with you tomorrow, probably flying solo until the next daring person heads down to the Floridian Peninsula.